Welcome to the Family of Faith audio podcast. Family of Faith is a ministry based out of Shawnee, Oklahoma. We hope you enjoyed this week's message.
Jesus, I don't know about you, but I mean, I loved Jesus before I got here, but I love him all the more now. I really do. And I hope you've experienced that. I mean, I just really appreciated being able to love him, praise him, magnify him, and just to listen to these musicians be able to lift up such a praise, adoration, and they invite us to go. Amen. And we get to go with them. And thank God they sound so good, because some of us don't sound so good anymore. All right. But we love to sing and we love to praise him. And I really did. I appreciated that immediate response a moment ago, because he's worthy of that. All right. He is worthy of that, and I just appreciate it. And again, I just want to say, I may say it again, but I loved Jesus when I got here, but I love him all the more right now after this worship. I mean, I really do. I just thank him. So I'm just enjoying myself, okay? So just indulge me a little bit. I'm just enjoying the fact that we've been able to love him, praise him, lift our hands, bow our knees, express our hearts, our gratitude to him. And folks, there's never been a greater moment in the history of the earth when that needs to happen. I mean, it needs to happen. And the world is craving. I mean, some of the, I don't remember words of songs, as you know. I don't even get the right songs. But anyway, that's okay. That's part of my history. I don't know. It's a bad part of my history. But I sure enjoy worshiping him, whatever the song is. Amen. But anyway, we just really appreciate, Father, the privilege just to love you. Father, I just thank you for the holiness that just enters, just even now. Father, we can't thank you enough. And Father, I think every day that goes by and the hunger that I've had for many years now of just more and more and more of you, that I just identify so much more every year that goes by. Father, it's like right now, every day that goes by, what a privilege it is to know you. What a privilege it is to hear your voice. And Father, we just agree with Moses today that, God, if you don't go up before us, we don't even want to go. But Father, I thank you that you're here. We know that you're here. We prayed for you to be here. We've declared that you would be here. And Father, you decide, you set it in motion centuries ago, when you spoke through the prophet Isaiah and said, there's going to be one that's going to be born of a virgin. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. Father, we've had the privilege of seeing that prophecy fulfill over 2,000 years ago. Father, we've had the privilege of being able to look at all of history of Judaism, Christendom, Father God, and watch the way it's developed and the way that the gospel was brought to us. And Father, I just want to thank you for the Jesus' faithfulness. And Father, today I just want to thank you for the faithfulness of those first apostles and disciples. I want to thank you for those first men and women that were so radically grasped by the reality of Jesus, by the person and the reality, the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I want to thank you that in the midst of overwhelming odds, impossibilities from every direction, hostilities from every direction, they said, we have been touched by Jesus, and we're going to herald this gospel all over the earth. Father, so I thank you for those first men and women that went out, forsaking all, giving all in adoration and love to you. Father, I want to thank you. Just want to thank you, because Father, as they were faithful, others became faithful, and it just became a chain reaction of the gospel going forth, Father. It got to us. Right here as we stand and sit in Oklahoma, it got to us. Wherever other states, where it got to us. Father, I'm just filled with gratitude for that love and the way you've brought it to pass. And I thank you that today that you're going to become even more real to us in the declarations of Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you so very much for loving us. And we just thank you for the privilege of being able to love you. Amen, amen. Amen. If you love him, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to look at some scriptures here. I'm going to open this thing up and be able to look at these. But the first scripture I want us to go to, and again, we're going on. This is the second in a message of three on Emmanuel, God with us. And the next one coming up next week, it's before, just before the end of the year, I think. I don't know. Something like that. And God's going to really speak to us further about Emmanuel and what's happening now in 2020. Amen. And this is, today is what's happening in 2020. But he's going to kind of point us in the direction of, okay, this is what this year is going to hold, and this is what he's wanting to do. And we're going to just see a further unfolding of him and giving us those next steps of everything that he's wanting to do within our lives. So y'all ready to go?
Amen.
We're ready to go, all right? I mean, the kingdom is on the move, and we just really appreciate it. But in Luke chapter 1, we're going to look at some verses. But Luke chapter 1, and I think we're beginning reading with verse 30. We can get it up there. But Emmanuel, God with us, and we just appreciate the fact of his great, great love. Yeah, verse 30. And we're going to read through 38. We'll take them kind of one by one. But we read some of these even last week, I believe. But 30 says, "The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" And we brought it out last week that all of us, we have favor with God. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
We have favor, and I think we're feeling it today. I mean, I feel favor from God. I mean, he loves me. Amen. He loves every one of us, and I just continually thank him that many years ago now, decades ago, when I started hearing his voice say, just start declaring, he loves us, he loves us. And that just keeps unfolding, and I just really appreciate him for that. "The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.'" You know, we were singing some things like that in some songs a moment ago, and did you just feel the reality of that? Amen, I think you did.
Amen.
But I think it's so important, and I want to stress further today, and God said with what he said last week, that if we just kind of tried to live there, where could we be when we entered into this service today? And I think we've further experienced this reality that, no, we are somewhere different because there was a greater presence even today. That means, yes, he's hearing our prayers. He's hearing our cries. He's watching our obediences. He's fulfilling these things. And we find favor in him. And when you start singing about those great things about his kingdom and his reign, it just does something on the inside of you, doesn't it? All right? Now, the scripture teaches us that God inhabits the praises of his people. He's enthroned upon their praises. So when you praise him, and we experienced it, and I want everybody to grasp those things, your experiences, your encounters, and we don't miss them. We don't miss the day of his visitation, because I promise you, Jesus is visiting the earth today all around this globe, and he's right here in Shawnee, Oklahoma at the Pot Lincoln County Line Road today, all right? He's here. And I want us just to major on the fact that he is here, not just for us to do things for him and to talk about him, but that he's here. We've been experiencing that, and we need to experience it all the more, and we need to open up. Father, just continue to pour these things into our lives. So he said his kingdom is going to be there. It's going to reign. Look at verse 34. "Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I'm a virgin?'" That's a good question. She said, how in the world am I going to have this one, this promised? How am I going to have? I mean, I don't know a man. How can I, since I'm a virgin? And all of us have things in our lives today that we look at, that we've seen in this scripture, that we know that we want God to do in our lives, things that we know that he's prophesied, things that we know that not just to us personally, but things we know that of what he said his kingdom is going to be. And today we live in a moment when the kingdom is so challenged all over the earth, which is a great moment, because that means God is going to absolutely fulfill what he says. So when we sing it, when we praise it, when we declare those things, it does something inside of us that we realize that, no, God is really going to reign through every one of our lives. So we've been praising those things. We've been magnifying that. And she immediately says, well, what about this? We all know that the times when we say to God, well, what about this, God? Or what about my failure? I don't have this. I wasn't obedient here. I wasn't faithful here. And we let that paralyze us, right? Now, she had a problem. He says, the Spirit of God, that the angel said, the Spirit of God is going to come upon you. None of this is in her power. None of it. God's first prophetic declaration to us today, he wants us to come to a place that we just absolutely, Daniel talked about the other day, in our weakness. He really wants us to get to a place where we can't do this.
Amen.
It's impossible.
Yep. Yep.
Because when she realized she was there, now, she's this little Jewish girl that remembers the covenant man himself, Abraham. So messed up. Because when they had trouble conceiving and he had these great promises, these great revelations from God, he decides he's going to take some matters into his own hand. And Sarah has this, well, why don't you take Hagar and she can have a child and thus the covenant can be fulfilled. Wasn't what God wanted. The world is still in chaos because they leaned into their own understanding.
Amen.
Rather than just saying, I can't. And I'm at my greatest place of power. That's what Paul told us later. I'm at my greatest place of power when I'm totally weak.
Amen.
Said, I can't. And God said, right where I want you. I want you to realize that my covenant is not based on you. It's based on me. I believe that God's going to deposit something in us today, and we're going to realize more than ever, it's not what we do, what we don't do. It's what he does in us and through us. We realize it's his power, his glory, his praise. Very special moment. It's a holy moment. You can feel it. I want us to feel it more. Well, so then she says, okay, but I'm a virgin. 35. But the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. So here, Holy Spirit says something to her. She goes, I can't. And the Holy Spirit says, well, this is what's going to happen, something that's never happened before. There's no point of reference in this young girl's life. We have a lot of points of references. We have a lot of places where God has done some very special things. History of what's happened in Scripture and in our lives and what we've seen. She didn't have nothing like this has ever happened. This is the fulfillment of the prophecies of prophecies. She's just a young girl. So I don't know what to do. And so the way God answers her, he said, well, this is what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to do this. And Elizabeth? She's barren. She's an old woman. She's all dried up. Her husband's all dried up. Everybody's all dried up. They can't have a child way past all these ages. But she has conceived. Now, she doesn't know that other than this angel is telling her. An encounter with something of another world that's coming to this world that says when Jesus then later taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All of a sudden she realizes people are really going to understand that prayer because she's going to lay hold of something and give birth to the Messiah, and they're going to realize what it is when you pray that prayer, because many times when we pray it, we're always wondering, waiting for what God's going to do out there rather than what God's going to do right here. Wow. So she says, oh. Then the angel says, for nothing will be impossible with God. Two impossibilities she's confronted with. But nothing. The angel says, nothing. I want you to know, nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. He's wanting to release within us the voice of His Spirit that resounds in the innermost recesses of our spirits, that we hear heaven declaring to us today, nothing shall be impossible to God. Nothing will be impossible to God. Nothing will be impossible to God. We're facing in our individual lives, some at various levels than others, then corporately, and then we're facing as a nation, and the nations are facing the rising up of all kinds of evil and antichrist spirits. They're all coming forth. You're hearing about them more on the news now because our nation is in a turmoil. There's more turmoil even happening in the world. So here it is. It's all impossible. But I believe that God is wanting to say to every one of us today, nothing will be impossible to God. And I think He wants it to explode inside of our spirits. I think He wants to wake us up in the night, as I did even last night, hearing nothing will be impossible with God. Because I face some impossible things, just like you do. I face some things that's been 30-some years that I've been praying and believing for something. Many of you can say the same thing. Personally, corporately, the kingdom of God all over the world. And some of those things can look impossible, but God needs us to hear what this young lady heard. Nothing will be impossible to God. God say it to us. God let it resound. Let it be something that empowers us. Because you realize, when you realize nothing is impossible with God, and that's alive on the inside of you, you'll conquer everything. I mean, one of the greatest stories I've ever read, and I heard the interview with it, but in Juneau, Alaska, which means a lot to us, Damon and Gary live, Jenny Gary live there, their family, Andrea from that family, Sisson, they've lived there for many years. But man, I saw it on the news. Some lady started hearing her dog, she put her dog out, and the dog went out there, and she hears it start screaming. She goes out there, and a bear has her dog. I saw this on the news, just didn't read it. They interviewed this girl. She goes running out the door, runs out there, and pops that bear right in the nose. He drops the dog. She grabs the dog and runs in the house. Don't you love that story? That's somebody that has gone past since and realized the impossible is alive inside of me. I'm going to get a bear, man. I'm going to get my dog. I love the story. They interviewed her boyfriend, who was also there, who observed it all. And in this interview, he says, well, I think she's learned one thing. I don't think she'll ever do that again. I have a theory. Any woman that will run out of a house and punch a bear right in the nose to get her dog will do it again. And if I could give that man any counsel, I would say, don't lip off to that girl, all right? But what was on the inside? The impossible. Now, that bear could have turned around, but who cares? Is that not a great story? There once was a young guy, shepherd guy named David. We know him. He got Goliath, the Philistine. He was able to say, who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine? Who are you? But you know how he got that produced on the inside of him? Something inside of him of a destiny. Something inside of him that he was to be a king. Something inside of him, because he would sit out there in the night hours and look at the stars and the moon and worship a God. Something when it was difficult and everything was bad, he would worship God. When a bear and a lion came to get a lamb, a sheep, he killed it. Killed them both. Because he realized Nothing is impossible with God.
Amen.
Because there was something alive inside of him. He wasn't a coward. He wasn't reticent. Something inside of him says, no, I am to reign. Listen, the blood of Jesus Christ has declared to every one of us that we're to reign in this life through Christ Jesus. And we need to hear the resounding voice say to us today, nothing is impossible with God. You need to hear it. You say, well, I haven't heard it. Then go get on your knees. And go cry out to him in the night hours, in the early morning hours, and say, God, I need to feel that dominion of Jesus Christ alive inside of me. I need to understand whether it's a bear, whether it's a lion, whether it's a person, whatever it is, that I'm going to stand proclaiming the glory and the majesty of my God. Amen?
Amen.
Just a little old girl. She was a young girl. She had an angel say, nothing's impossible with God. Listen, I believe with everything in me, you can hear it in my voice, I believe with everything in me, God's wanting to resoundly scream out on the inside of you with an eternal reality that nothing is impossible with God. I believe he wants to see us have it. Because there's a generation of people that's not even going to know death. They're going to conquer death by the power of God working inside of their lives. A spotless, blameless generation of people, a church coming alive into him that reigns on the earth. Real kingdom reign.
Amen.
Real truth stuff, man. Not that stuff that gets whatever it gets in this hour in which we're living. But we want purity. We want truth. We want kingdom reality. Well, nothing will be impossible. So then look at verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, the bondservant of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed. Well, she came to the right spot. She responded to that nothing will be impossible to God. She responded to the presence. She responded, something just happened to me that put me in a realm of not being just a mere human, that put me in a realm that there's a destiny that got busted up decades and centuries ago in the Garden of Eden. And a God that's been meticulously seeking to bring it forth, promised as a Messiah. He's going to be the Savior of the world. I've just heard this is him, and he's going to be conceived inside of me. And every one of us, as we talked last week, Jesus lives in us. If you've confessed him as Lord, repented of your sins, asked him to come into your life, that same preciousness is inside of you right now. What a great God we serve. But she says, okay, be it unto me according to your word. That's what the angel needed to hear. He's been giving all this insight, and she responds, okay, be it unto me. Everything God's ever said to you, everything he's given us in this scripture, we all need to come to a new resolution, commitment today in our heart and say, God, if your word says it, I'm going to go do it. Father, if you give me that direction by your spirit, I'm going to do it. Whatever your word is, I'm going to believe it. Whatever you say, wherever you say to go, wherever you say not to go, whatever you say to do, whatever you say not to do, whether I live, whether I die, whatever the situation is, Father, I don't really care. I just want to be what you want me to be, whatever your word is. And folks, I'm telling you today, he's saying that nothing will be impossible to the God inside of you. Nothing. That's where we have to go. God, we need to, yes, 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 God, we want to go there in all of the power and all of the glory. Wow. These are great people, aren't they? You know what made these people so great that we've referred to so far? They just realized they didn't have anything without him. They wanted to give him everything that was there. Look to verse 46. Same chapter. And Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, and all generations will count me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. I believe he wants to release praise. He wants to release exaltation. He wants us to understand that he's had great regard for us to come as Savior and to forgive us of our sins. And now we can need to make the director, the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And just live thanking him that he's the mighty one. He's done great things for me. And holy is his name. And that releases more of this drawing of the very presence of God as an anointing that wants to come into our lives. Folks, this is the greatest moment. Now, it's one of the scariest moments I've ever lived and I've ever been alive, just like most of us. And unprecedented since what? Coming up into World War II and those kind of things and during that. Unprecedented moments. And if ever we've been closer to the absolute appearing of Jesus Christ, it's now. I mean, all the things I used to hear preachers say, well, this prophecy is being fulfilled. They're all being fulfilled. And right now, it's not like one of them, one after another. It's kind of like they're all happening right now. And we just need to open up and go, okay, God, what are you saying? What God's saying to us is, no, God has done great things for me. And holy is his name. Remember what God gave us back during the earthquakes? And he had prophesied that back in the 80s. And it was going to become a sign, et cetera. And things have even further happened all around the world since those days. But what he gave us in that, remember, out of the 99th Psalm, was this was our declaration, declare holy is he. Holy is he. That when we got, if we got a felt something that was going to happen, many times I felt those things in advance. If we feel it, or if it happens and there's an earthquake, what was our response? He told, say, holy is he. That would be a footstool and people would be drawn to the Messiah. Folks, there's more people being born again since those moments in, what, 2013? Than any other moment in the earth, all over the earth, the gospel is going forth. I mean, all over the earth, the gospel's going forth. And we need to thank God, but what do we need to declare? Holy is he. That was what Mary, it's magnificent, this whole thing. I mean, it's so much more than that. But I mean, it comes to, for the mighty one. Yeah, the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. I think our song needs to be, holy is his name. Holy is his name. That was your response a moment ago at the end of the praise and worship. It was automatically, yes, holy is his name. Because that's where we need to live. And when life is pressing in on us from every direction and we feel all beaten up and beaten down, that's when you're, holy is he. The Lord has done mighty things for me. And holy is his name. That's when we arise in the moments and say, no, I will stand here magnifying, praising him, loving him. Because you know, and it's been brought out so many times through the years. But I mean, those early apostles, they get themselves in prison and they're singing, magnifying, loving God, and God would shake the prison, open the prison doors, an angel would come and let them out, or an earthquake would come and let them out, and the rest of the world freaking out, and God showing himself mighty to some men and women of God that says, no, nothing is impossible with God. That's his declaration to every one of us today. Nothing will be impossible to God. God, I'm praying for. He's been screaming it to me. Nothing. And giving me this verse, Emmanuel. That's God with us. That's not, I just kind of put up with it till finally I get past it or I just have to go through all this stuff. No, standing up and saying, whoa, whoa. This is the kingdom. Do you realize this little girl hearing this by the Spirit of God, hearing this Gabriel coming from the presence of the Lord, she could look back and think, man, look at all the bad that's happened to all the people. Cry out like some of them, God, what about all these great things you said were going to happen and we're in bondage with our enemy? She could look at all of it. Gideon, as Daniel was talking the other day about Gideon, his guy's all burdened up and he doesn't feel like a warrior. He didn't know who he was. But all of a sudden, God spoke to him and he realized, no, nothing is impossible with God. And it was a journey. He was afraid to go down to the enemy. God said, go down there and pay for it. And God said, well, if you need to take your servant. He had to get somebody to go with him to go hear God declare through the mouth of the enemy, we're whipped. They already knew they were defeated. He didn't know it. Still had to have help. Still had to have somebody along his side because he's afraid. God, let us come to our weakness and may us declare nothing will be impossible with God. Do I hear an amen? The mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Holy is his name. We just need to have that as a song. God, you're the mighty one. The mighty one has done great things for me. During that praise and worship, I had just flooding me again, something I used to say back when I was young. I'm not young anymore. The reality was I used to say, I love the scripture out of the Psalms where David said, I've been young and I've been old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I've loved that all, and I would have to say, you know, I've never been old. I've been young, and I'm getting older, but now I can finally come to the place I'm just old. And standing right there, you know what was flooding me? Now, I agree with my mother. She says, to get old, you got to be really tough. So we're experiencing some of those things. Some things just aren't right, you know? And some things are more difficult than they used to be. And getting up off the floor is a little more difficult than it used to be. And I can hear some of you laughing. Yeah, he kind of bobbled when he got up, you know? But I wanted to go down. I wanted to go, holy is he. But I tell you, standing there, I was able to look at over a half a century of a God that's been nothing but faithful to give us promise and fulfillment. Promise and fulfillment. And that's who he is. And I thought, God, how beautiful. I can't help it, folks. I'm excited, okay? How beautiful to be able to know him. Amen. Now, you know, it's just like God had to remind me one day, took me to Reese Howe's book, and he said, and I've been reading it for years, and he said, look at this. See all those events? He'd take me pages. I said, yeah. He said, it took those things years to happen. Decades went by between that powerful story and the next powerful story and the next powerful story. He said, you know what that means? It means there's a whole lot of mundane and boring that went on between it. A whole lot of no big answers, just his presence that prepared you when the big conflicts came and the big problems came, prepared you because I was establishing you. Wow, he's a great God, amen?
Amen.
Wow, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go to what? Chapter has to be 2:39. Now, interesting, isn't it? Verse 39, Jesus has been born. They've been in the temple. We've talked some about that before with Simeon and Anna. Not what we're going to talk about today. Powerful truths. But look at 39. When they had performed everything, the parents getting Jesus dedicated. Here he is. According to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. And the child continued to grow and became strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now he's a baby, 8 days old, went in the temple, they came home. And then for the next years, until we're going to read a moment, 12 years later. But look at verse 40 again. The child continued to grow and became strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He was increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So for 12 years, remember some years ago when God started giving me the revelation about the names of God, I said the greatest revelation out of the New Testament, the greatest revelation about the God that Jesus gave us was the fact that he's Father. And then later after that, God really showed me, you know, Jesus spent 30 years, and I've said this many times, he spent 30 years fellowshipping with the Father. He didn't do any miracles, he didn't do anything. So from birth, with all that powerful stuff that happened, the angels and the shepherds, 30 years he did nothing that's recorded. But he was growing in wisdom and stature with God and man. So that mean he acted just like most of our kids act as they're growing up? I doubt it. Because he didn't sin. He was tempted in all ways, but he didn't sin. So, I mean, he didn't go that way, right? So, for the first 12 years of his life, this is what God wants every one of us to know today. For the first 12 years of his life, they just stood back, talked about when the shepherds came to the manger. Mary put all those things in her heart. She pondered them. What the shepherds said, that the angel said, and she knew what the angel had said to her. And here all of this was happening. And so for 12 years, she watched Jesus grow in fellowship with the Father. But where we have ups and downs and all those kind of things, he just steadily increased. Think about it. Because of his kingdom, there is no end. Of his kingdom, there is only increase. So he didn't go 12 years in a vacuum. He was being absolutely touched by fellowship with the Father, a fellowship that his death purchased that you can know now in this life. Wow. So look what it says in verse 49, same chapter. And he said to them, they went up to the temple at age 12. Jesus got lost. He didn't get lost. They lost him. They came back and found him and said, and Jesus said, they said, why did you do this to us? Look at 49. And he said to them, why is it that you were looking for me? Do you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? House is added. Some things have said my Father's business. That business or house is not there. Actually, it says this. Don't you know I would be about my Father? Don't you know? For now 12 years. Why did he say that? Don't you know? Well, remember everything that the angel Gabriel said to you. Remember everything that the angel said to the shepherds. Remember everything. And then remember what you've watched me do. For 12 years, I've done nothing except follow the Father. Why'd he sit around and talk about little things that he could make and what he learned in the woodworking shop? Is that all he talked about? Well, you know, when he was 12 and he was standing there with the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests and all those, he was astonishing them with his questions and with his comments. For 12 years, Mary and Joseph, and whenever Joseph died, they were receiving a touch out of heaven. They were receiving, watching the Messiah that was being absolutely prepared and winning every battle from the moment of our birth to the moment of our death and entrance into the kingdom. He is there. Jesus purchased for us to increase in wisdom and stature with God and with man. He fellowshiped with the Father. He knew the Father. He was the exact representation of the Father. And he came to this point where further it broke out. Look down in verse 52. And Jesus kept increasing. This was after he went in subjection to his parents, submission to them, went back to Nazareth. And then what happened in 52? And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. God's prophetic declaration this today is that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. He's going to scream it out inside of you. And you're going to realize it, and the destiny is going to come out in you. But here he grew in wisdom and stature, favor with God and man. Just think about it. Our whole desire, God, I just want to grow in wisdom and stature and favor with you and with man. I just want to live with you, living your glory and your majesty through our lives. And he's taking us from glory to glory. Okay. Now, we've been thinking kind of a dual thing going here. But I've said a lot of things about Mary. A lot of things about Jesus, about his kingdom. But I want us to think about something. You know, Jesus' first miracle was turning the water into wine at the wedding. Always kind of a strange story. But it's not strange about it. Jesus told her, he said, it's not my time. But she just turned right around to the people, said this, do whatever he says to do. Oh, what got a hold of me in this last week is this reality. She knew who he was. She now is a lady with a son that's 30 years of age that's listened to his musings, listened to his thoughts, listened to what he's receiving, listened to what he might be humming and singing, and what Old Testament verses he must have been quoting when he would work those mundane things. And here they're at a wedding, and he simply got a band of small band of guys hanging around, women hanging around him. They don't even know what in the world they're doing. All they know is Jesus just said, "Hey, you, follow me." I love that. Follow. Where are we going to go? Oh, it doesn't make any difference. We have to follow him. They started feeling something before they could ever articulate it. Only you have the words of life. Amen. May he touch it. He's touching us today with his presence. And we're realizing, no, there's life. There was life in those words. There was life in that melody. There was life in the harmony. There was life in the beating on the drums and on the keyboards. There was life. He wants us to live receiving the life. He wants to fill us with his life. He wants us to know that nothing is impossible with him. So, you know, Scripture says it's the first of his miracles and he revealed his glory. But boy, to me in this last week, you can hear it in this story, it had a whole lot to do with Mary. The lady said, "You know, I'm going to be blessed forever and forever. Nobody's going to forget what happened the day I said, 'Be it unto thee me according to your word.'" What'd she say? What'd she say to those people that were ready to be so embarrassed, so shamed? "Just do what he says." Because she knew something. He is not going to allow them to be shamed. And I declare to every one of us today, he is not going to allow you to be shamed. And we need to know that inside of us. Just do what he says to do. And he said, "See all those empty pots? Fill them up with water." And I love the way they portray it in The Chosen, that those episodes. Jesus, they ask him to do these things. He asks everybody to leave, and he just sticks his hand down in that water in one of those big pots. And when he pulls it out and drips it out of his hand, it drips red. Nothing. It's impossible with God. That's the message he wants to get to us. But he just didn't go in there as the big son of God to do these masterful things. But all of a sudden, somebody put a demand on who they knew he was. And the revelation that was given to her, just do what he says. The cry coming out of my spirit that's coming from the Father to me, the cry that he's giving me to give to every one of us today is just do what he says. Just go get in his presence, live in his presence, abide in his presence, joyfully be in his presence, sing in his presence, dance in his presence, cry in his presence, cry out in your desperation in his presence, cry out in the impossibilities in his presence. Because he is ready to do some magnificent things. For the mighty one has done great things for us. And holy is his name. John chapter 14. Verse 10. "Do you believe that I'm in the Father?" It's Jesus speaking. "Do you believe that I'm in the Father?" Now picture it, start thinking. Jesus, do you believe? He's standing, "Do you believe I'm in the Father?" Well, I don't know that I really see the Father. But Jesus is saying, do you believe I'm really in the Father? And the Father is in me. So do you believe that I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father, Jesus speaking, the Father, that I'm in him, the Father abiding in me does his works. That's what Mary experienced. I'm in the Father's in me. It's impossible, but it's possible because it's God. Look at verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. God's calling us this day to absolutely believe that he's in the Father and the Father's in him.
Amen.
Now, that just goes way past our capacity to understand it. So in the holiness that we've been feeling throughout this whole morning, a supernatural miracle of God is wanting to further transform you. Talked about transformation and metamorphosis a week ago. Being completed. God wants to meet us. Look now at verse 20, same chapter. The Gospel of John. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father. And he's saying to us, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will disclose myself to him. Jesus is in us. We're in Jesus, the great verse. You can look them up, the in Christ, many verses, in Christ. We're in Christ, Christ in us. If you abide in me, Jesus said, my words abide in you. You can ask whatever you want, it shall be done for you. We're going to take that in some weeks ahead. Now realize, there's something happening where we're going to experience more than ever that we are in Christ. And realize that Jesus says, I'm in you, you're in me, I'm in the Father. It means there's something so special about being saved. There's something so precious about this reality that I'm in him, he's in me, he's in God. He's in the Father's in him. So if the Father's in him and he's in the Father and Jesus in us and we cry out, Abba, Father, that means God in all of his fullness is in us. God, make us so hungry for the fullness of the Godhead to dwell in us, where this fullness... Paul said, you know, I know, to the church of Rome, said, when I come to you, I'm going to come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. May we become so captured by the fact that we can be so touched by God and in Christ, Christ in us, and in the Father, Father in us, that, I mean, you can't be any more covered than to be surrounded by God, to be full of God, to be being sanctified and perfected by his grace. He is suddenly after us in a special and special dynamic way. Let us realize that. Because see, sometimes life can be very problematic and it can be very lonely, it can be very discouraging. But when we can just know He's just with me. And that's what Jesus said. I mean, life-changing moment. Some years ago in myself, he took me to a passage, and Jesus said, hey, you guys are getting to disciples just before he died. You guys are getting ready to be scattered. You're all going to go back to your own home. You don't leave me alone. But I'm not alone. My Father is with me. He always knew it. I declare and prophesy over every one of us today, God is declaring to you, nothing is impossible with God. And you're getting ready to enter into the greatest moments of being in him, Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, that starts us there. I'm alienated. My sin makes me an enemy of God. If I love the things of the world, I'm an enemy of God. I don't want to be an enemy of God. And God comes into us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, the hope of glory is this, not just when I die, that I'm going to go to heaven to be with God. Thank God for that. But the reality is that if I'm in him, Christ in you, the hope of glory, he's in God, God's in him, he's in me, the glory is there, and he manifests his glory just like he did that day with the water into wine. That didn't have to do about whether you drink or don't drink. It has to do with the fact that God was there to say nothing is impossible, and that I'm here to bring liberation and freedom by my life and by my power. This will usher us into the most precious intimacy with Jesus that we have ever known. He just fellowshiped with the Father. He's still fellowshipping with the Father. You know where he lives? Seated at the right hand of the Father. Forever hearing what the Father is declaring of an eternal word, interceding, bringing those things with the victory of his blood. Holy Spirit hears it, brings it to us, touches every one of us, and the fullness of God starts manifesting in our lives.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. How precious you are, Jesus. How absolutely precious that you would walk such obedience to the Father, fulfilling all righteousness, embracing the eternality of being the Savior of the world, of being installed as God's King in Mount Zion, of raising up and bringing redemption to a humanity that is so broken, who would weep over Jerusalem and said, I just want to gather you together as a mother hen would gather together her brood. I just want to pull you to me. Father, we feel that pull. We want to go with you. God, we want to be gathered together. We want to dwell the secret place of the Most High. We want to abide the shadow of the Almighty. Father, we want to be liberated from those things that enslave us, that bind us to things that we say are impossible. And God, then that you will liberate us to understand that nothing is impossible with God. And God, you live inside of us and you cover us, and we're living inside of you. Father, may we see it past the definitions, may we see it past any picture we can draw. And Father, lead us into the experiential knowing. Just lead us into that knowing. Hallelujah. As the worship team just leads us, I just want you just to respond to the Father right where you're sitting, where you're kneeling. Just say, Father, I want you to resoundingly come alive in me, that I will hear and I will know that nothing is impossible with my God, my Father, with my Savior, with my Holy Spirit that has been sent as my comforter, my advocate, the one called alongside. What God's just allowing me to see at this moment is that beautiful, beautiful picture out of Revelation 5, where John, on that wonderful vision and encounter he had with Jesus on Patmos, that he looked and the God himself on the throne held a book sealed up with 7 seals. There was no one. The cry went out, there's no one worthy. John's just staggered. He begins to weep. And Father, even today, the late night hours and the early morning hours, there's such a weight on the world right now with what's happening. Confusion, turmoil, frustration, ugliness from every direction. Hopelessness, sickness, death. Overwhelmed emotions. Father, every imaginable mental situation that's just increasing in people across the nations. Despair that's breaking out. What he's showing me right now, what he wants me to declare over every one of us, for not just us, but for all of the United States and for all of the world. This other voice that came and said to John, stop weeping. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed. He has overcome. Oh, John heard it. Resoundingly happened in his spirit. And he turned around to see the voice that was speaking to him. And he saw the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus, we thank you for loving us. Jesus, we just want to say, we love you. And we want to experience you in all of your fullness, in all of your fullness, in all of your fullness. Grace upon grace is poured out upon us. Grace upon grace. Just layered, Father, you're layering grace on us. Supernatural. Supernatural enablement. Just right now, if you want to stand and lift your hands, if you want to kneel, if you want to go to your face, let's just, as we worship, as we praise, let's just thank him. If you're here today and you're not born again, you want to know Jesus, can come. We'll have some people pray with you. If you need prayer for healing, there's a presence of God to just further bring healing today. Right now, as we stand, as this, some of you may find out you've been touched even now in this service time. Father, we love you. Father, we love you. God just wants to deal with you, touch you, embrace you, draw you further to himself. Submit unto him, draw to him, draw close to him, he draws close to you. Father, we just thank you for such an easy obedience. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you have questions about Family of Faith, please visit us at myfamilyoffaith.com.